God is good. You know, I was, when I first wanted to become a Christian, I decided I had to move so that I can become a Christian because I was in an environment that was not godly at all. And so I decided I need to move to Portland, Oregon to become a Christian. I lived in Redding. Well, Portland had a different reputation back then in the 80s. I lived in Redding, California at that time. And I'd lived there for several years, and I decided I wanted to become a Christian, so I was moving out of Redding, California, up to Portland, Oregon. And when I got to Portland, Oregon, gosh, you guys laughed at my Redding thing in Portland, Oregon. I forgot where I was going with all of that. Got it. Praise the Lord. That was it. So anyway, so I needed to be a Christian. So I said, all right, I got to move away from all my friends to become a Christian. I thought, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, then I need to go to Bible college. So I go to, there's a Bible college there called Multnomah Bible College. And so I decided I'm going to go to Multnomah, and I went to one of the counselor's offices, and I went in there, and I sat down with the counselor, and I knew zero. I'd never gone to church but once when I was a little teeny tiny kid, so I didn't go to church. I went when I was in fifth grade and had a real supernatural experience with God, and then I didn't go anymore because it scared me, because I didn't know God talks to people, and God openly spoke to me, and it made me so afraid that I stopped going to church. He said, this is what I've called you to do, when a preacher was preaching, and I said, I'm just a kid. No one will listen to me. I was in fifth grade. I says, I haven't got a house or a car or a wife yet. I'm 10 years old. I says, that end times they're talking about? I said, I'll tell everybody about you then. And I stopped going to church. Well, then I decided I needed to become a Christian. Years later, I was in my 20s, and I moved up to Portland, Oregon. I go to Multnomah Bible College, and I sit down with this minister. And I had just had this overwhelming supernatural experience with God, where he took me into outer darkness and then showed me my whole life and spoke to me some things. And it was a huge, just this huge thing in my life. So I thought, I got to go to Bible college. I'm sitting in that room with that counselor, and he says, praise the Lord. And I look at him and I go, am I supposed to do something when you say that? Does that mean something that I don't know? And he said, well, sometimes we just say it as a habit, but yes, we should be praising the Lord. And then I went to go tell him my supernatural experience that I just had, and I think it was too overwhelming for him. And he said I can come to his school reluctantly, but I prayed about it and decided I better not. I better go and search on my own. Anyway, that was my praise the Lord experience. So we would like to praise the Lord a little bit and give him glory where glory is due and credit where credit is due. And this is Healing School, and we have a testimony that I think would be really cool if all of us can hear it. Would that be all right? Mark, would you come on up? This is Mark, and he has had an ongoing situation with the Holy Spirit, and I think it would be really good for all of us to hear it.
Thank you. My name's Mark Harville. Back about a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with renal cancer. And although I speak that, I speak to it. And so I came to Healing School, and really, as you just said, Pastor, I kind of moved out of a little bit of darkness, and it was a wake-up call. And I really got involved, really understood what the Word said through our teachings here, through Minton, Pastor Robert, and Pastor Trey, to really understand what the Word really says about your body, your health, which means that Jesus died on the cross and bore our sins for our healing. It's already done. You have to speak to it. You have to lean into the Word, and you have to claim it. The odds that they gave me were not very good. They were pretty low. And we just believed what I knew, what I knew, what I knew. And we pressed in, and just to get to some of the medical people that dealt with us, and God bless our medical people. Without them, I'm not sure we would be healthy, of course. But in that arena, a lot of them do not profess the faith of healing, I should say. And we do. And when we were told that the odds were low, we said the odds were high. And so long story short, I go through treatments of immunotherapy, which is sort of a new treatment. It's been out for years, but it's a newer type. And we look at the results. So the first scan that they did on me showed a decrease of these nodules. And then had that scan done, continued treatments. The second scan showed an even more decrease. The third scan showed that they had all disappeared. Now, Pastor Robert spoke to me one Sunday in the lobby as I was coming in, and Pastor Trey has also prayed with me, as well as Minton, and has kept me on a prayer chain. Pastor Robert stopped me in the lobby one Sunday, right as I was sitting down, and he just casually stops me and says, "These things are going to be absorbed. They're going to disappear." I claim that. I believe that. So on this last scan, which is, again, been a year and a half process, I walk in the room, and there's a technician lady there, and she's and I have a song on my phone, and it's "Our God Reigns." Phil Driscoll sings it, and he's one of my favorite artists, "Our God Reigns." And I said, "I want to play this song," because they had music. They had told me they had music that you could play. So she said, "Okay, I'll play it." And I said, "Listen, the last time you played it, I could hardly hear it. So I said, crank it up. I really want to hear it." So she put it on, and you could hear it, I'm sure, all the way down the corridor, because it was up. And he was singing, and I'm in this PET scan machine, and I don't know if anybody's ever been through those or not, or CT scans or MRI scans. They're uncomfortable. I'm in this machine, and the Holy Spirit comes on me like it's never, ever come on me before. It was like I was lifted off the table, just surrounded with the Spirit. You can't move. Tears come down my eyes. I'm emotional anyway. Tears come down my eyes. You can't wipe your eyes. You can't move your head. You got the salt that you feel in your eyes. I'm laying there, and it was the most spiritual thing I've ever felt. So, as we proceed, she placed three other songs behind that she chose, and they were Christian songs. I can't remember what they were about. I couldn't concentrate that well, but they were uplifting. It was just part of the process. So when we get through, she pulls me out. She walks over to me, and she's shaking, and she said, "Did you feel that?" And I said, "Yes, I felt life in this room." And she said, "I've been this a long time." She said, "I've never ever seen that or felt that before." She said, "There was life in this room." And she hugs me, and she is trembling. And so I get up and I turn to her and I said, "Look," I said, "I don't care what this scan says, because I know what it says. I know what it is." And she said, "You're right." She said, "You just made," I forgot how she said it. She said, "You made my day, you made my month, my year," whatever. She was just, as I was walking out, she was just elated, walking out. And you know, normally technicians are very methodical. You get the machine, you do it, you get out, who's next? It was like just a light all through the whole area there. So anyway, so we get out and we go to the doctor and speak to the doctor on Thursday, and she looks at me and she says, "Everything's clear." And if you look at this, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No. And Lord God, there's nothing too hard for thee. So I told her, she looks at me and she's kind of, you know, she said, and I said, "I drink from the river of life." And she stands up and she walks over to me. She's about that high. She walks up to me and she gives me a high five. And she said something to the effect, it's a, I don't know if she said it was a miracle. Did she say it was a miracle? She said, "It's a miracle." And I said, "Yes. It's all clear. All glory to Him."
All right. What a glorious testimony, huh? So is there anything too difficult for the Lord? There is nothing too difficult for the Lord. And I'll tell you, our heart, the way that we present our heart before the Lord, the way that we see Him, the way that we acknowledge Him, we get the fruit of that. We really, really do. God is only good. He's only good. And the more that we can just acknowledge His goodness and be thankful and enjoy His fellowship, the more we're going to see His presence and His glory manifesting not only to us, but through us. Amen? Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, let's take a look at some stuff. I've been talking about the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians to y'all, so I'll continue doing that. So we were looking in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, and those are kind of sister books, you know, where one will highlight on a few areas and then the other one will bounce off of that and say a few things. Ephesians magnifies a few things where Colossians doesn't really magnify it but addresses it gently, and vice versa. And so in Colossians chapter 2, there's something that I would like us to really look at where I finished with this verse the last time we were together. So in Colossians chapter 2, let's start in verse 6. So I haven't given her any scriptures, and I don't even have the TV on. So if you guys have verses, good for you. I can't see them. Praise the Lord. Okay, so starting in verse 6. It says, "As you have therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Mark had a battle. He had a serious battle that he had to face. He had to decide if God's word is true or not true. Is Jesus the healer or not the healer? Have I received my healing? By His stripes I was, past tense, healed or not? He had to settle that in his heart, right? Once we settle it in our heart, we have the victory. Now, we may not see the manifestation of it right that second, or we may, but it's never changing your position once you've established it in your heart and your mind that this is true. And this is not only true, but it's true for me. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of things in the Bible that We absolutely, hands down, agree that this is true. There's no way I will ever spend a day on my earth and say it's not true. And it is. And we will go for it and go, and we will defend it, that this word is true. But then when it comes to me operating in it, me manifesting it, me being the living embodiment of it, something changes sometimes. And so what we have to do and what our responsibility is to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens in us believing the Lord Jesus Christ is this battle starts taking place on the inside of us. And that's the old man versus the new man, right? You guys are familiar with those terms. And so the new man, or the new creation, or the inner man, is where we struggle with as a reality of our identity. And we have to struggle with that. Because here's the thing. If we don't get the understanding of who we really are in Christ Jesus, then we will constantly be the victim looking for God to rescue us from each circumstance and situation. Right? So, with Mark's testimony, it's a wonderful testimony, is that Mark stood on the Word. And then he had to go through a period of time to proof out that Word. Never changing his confession, always restabilizing his heart and his mind, and continuing in the faith. And it was a process, like he said, a year and a half. But progress was being made. And he never stopped with just a good report. He kept pressing in until he had the exact report that I am healed. I'm not just better. I'm healed. And as we heard, when he was standing his ground and seeing substance changing in his physical body, then, at the very end of it, the manifest presence of God filled that moment. And see, sometimes we're waiting for that physical manifestation of God in the very beginning, waiting for God to do it. But what God was doing was he was proofing out Mark's faith. Is Mark going to quit? Is Mark going to give up? Is Mark going to just relent and say, God, it's in your hands, there's nothing I can do about it, and just lay there? No. He continually was loving people, continuing being generous and kind, continuing in faithfulness, continuing in his confession, continuing in standing his ground. And as he continued in it, then the full manifestation took place, right? Each one of us have to do that. Really, it's not just Mark. Each one of us has to decide for ourselves if this word is true, and if it is true, is it true for me personally? And that's where a battle takes place. So let's continue reading. Where did I stop off at? 8. So, what people will do here is, as you're standing your ground, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested by the people around you, what their confession is, what their beliefs are, what the world is saying, what's politically correct, what the doctors are saying. I'll tell you, it takes guts. And it takes being firm in your confession and your conviction to tell a doctor, that may be your truth, but it's not mine. Because I'll tell you, there's plenty of people who have said that to doctors, and the doctors have watched them die. Plenty of times. So it really takes being in your confession and being rooted and grounded in the truth in your own heart and having it settled in your heart. So here's some really reassuring verses that we can use. In verse 9 it says, For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Christ. Let me back up to 8 so it has continuity. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And look at this. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. It doesn't say you will be complete in him. Listen, that's got to be settled into you. You already are complete in him. Mark had to stand that ground. Jump, sister, jump. It's okay. Listen, we have to get that as our reality, that we really are already complete in him. All of us are going to have to fight this battle of condemnation and unbelief versus the truth of the Word of God. And we all have to walk it out. We all have to walk it out. Moving on to verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Look at what it is. It's the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We have to really take the time to identify ourselves as we are not that anymore. We are not. Our flesh, our experiences, the way we were raised, what we used to believe is not the reality any longer. That is gone. Christ cut that away from us. Those are great words, Pastor Robert. Yay, those are great words. But the truth of the matter is, when you wake up in the morning, are you flesh or are you spirit? When you get tired, are you flesh or are you spirit? When something's in your face that you don't want to be in your face and you have to deal with it, are you flesh or are you spirit? Are you seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, or are you standing nose to nose with somebody that you're carnally interacting with? We all have to walk this out. None of us have perfected it. We all go back and forth, but hopefully we go back and forward, maybe back a little and forward, back a little and forward, and keep walking it out. 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having what? All of your trespasses. Because I'll tell you what, the devil is going to really do his job to make you feel inferior, unworthy, powerless, broken. He's going to do whatever he can do to make you look at yourself in the eyes or the light of condemnation or unbelief, that you're not worthy of actually being and living who Christ says we are. He's going to do his job on us. He's going to really do. But look at what he says here. I'm going to read 13 again. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Who's the one that's dead to that? You being dead to your trespasses. You being dead to your flaws and your faults and your shortcomings and all your insecurities and weaknesses and all that. You being dead to that stuff. That's a real victory when we can really die to that stuff and not see ourselves in that light. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So this handwriting of requirements that was nailed to the cross, when did that happen? I don't ever remember reading about these things that are written against us. Somebody nailed those to the cross. Do you? Whoa. Devil doesn't like this. Do you guys remember anything like that? Where there was these handwriting requirements that they nailed on a cross? What? Jesus. He says Jesus. So is that what it was? It's okay. You can nod yes or no. Yes. Where it is. So what was the handwriting of requirements that was nailed against us on the cross? The law, she says. Then what was the law for? Huh? The law does. It brings out our sins. There is no sin unless there's a law that identifies it. And the strength of sin is the law, right? So in other words, when there's a rule made, then it shows the flaws that are inside of you. But if the rule was never made, there's nothing that exposes that flaw inside of us. Yes or no? Okay. So all those things that exposes the flaws that are inside of you was nailed to the cross. We got to get this. All this handwriting requirements, all these things that says you have to do something, you have to be something, is not true. It was contrary to us. It was in opposition to us. It was an adversary against us. And that was the flesh. And his flesh was nailed to the cross. And you know, sometimes when we are in our circumstances, when things are happening against us, when things aren't going well with us, it is very easy for us to think that we have something to do with it. To think that we have to fight somehow. We've got to battle the devil or something. And we don't. So having nailed it to the cross, and when he nailed it to the cross, it removed that handwriting or those requirements or the rules or the judgments that judge us. And they're taken out of the way. Next verse 15. This is what I stopped with last time. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. That means this, you guys, that when those requirements were removed away from us, which was his flesh, when it was removed away from us, that is what robbed the devil of any more power or authority over us. He's got nothing. Whatever he wants to use to condemn you, it's gone. Whatever he wants to say to judge you, it's gone. However he's going to try to make you guilty, it's gone. Why is that? How can that be true? How can that be true? Because there's still stuff that if somebody was videotaping our lives, they would say, look, he just did that, right? And then the devil will go, look, he just did that. He did it again. Oh, he's never going to learn, you know. Oh, I did it again. I'm just a lowly worm. Oh, what am I going to do? Right? The devil does that. What was nailed to the cross? What else? What else? His flesh. So anything that you do in the flesh has been dealt with according to God. That's not me. Whatever it is, it is. Whatever it is, right? So, listen, if it was done in the flesh, it's been nailed to the cross. And so anything that you've done in the flesh, that's all the devil has to try to beat you up with. But if you realize that that has been done with, you yourselves will have disarmed principalities and powers so that they have no power against you any longer. And I'll tell you, when we really get this down in our hearts and our minds, that I truly am forgiven, I truly am redeemed, like it said earlier, that I am complete in Him, we're not talking about our flesh. We're not talking about flesh and blood. We are talking about a new creation. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Remember we read that His circumcision, that was out hands. We've been circumcised from the circumcision that's without hands. Look at this in Galatians 6, verse 15. See, and this is Paul talking to the Galatians. You guys know the story of the Galatians where he talks to them about, you know, you started out in faith, right? You started out by the Spirit. You started out by believing that what Christ did was a gift for you. And then what happened? Who bewitched you? Who seduced you in your mind that you now have to try to fix something or be perfect now or follow some rules now in order to be accepted by God? And he's telling them that they got stuck in thinking that they had to be circumcised again. And Paul was being ridiculed and judged because he was teaching that circumcision doesn't mean anything anymore. That's your flesh. And you're trying to get your flesh to appease God. And it doesn't work like that anymore. It's by faith that what Jesus did was enough. And so he's going with them with this. And here's the thing that he was saying in verse 15. He says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." See, whether you are the purest person on the planet or the filthiest person on the planet, whether you've got a track record of a billion sins or if you've only got one sin in your life, it doesn't mean anything. That's not how God looks at us or deals with us any longer. He doesn't deal with us according to the flesh, right? So when Mark was dealing with this circumstance in his flesh, it was about holding on to what the truth in the Spirit is. And as he clung to the truth in the Spirit, because he is in the Spirit, his flesh adapted to his true belief system, his real belief system. Your flesh is going to follow your spirit's lead. But it's got to actually lead. It does. And look at these last three words. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision, four words. But what? A new creation. See, that's the thing, y'all. It's all about being the new creation, the new you, the spirit person. And the devil would very much like us to look at our fleshly history as to whether or not we please God. And that's not what God looks at. He's made us complete in Him. We're perfect, lacking nothing. We're blameless in His sight, above reproach, it says in Ephesians. He's only good and only thinks good things about us. He's healed us. He's prospered us. He's anointed us. He's given us the power to create with our words. He's made us His very own sons. That's who you are. You're a son. No, you're not. You're a son. You get stuck in gender. There is not an issue. Gender is not an issue to God. You're a son of God. Otherwise, if I'm the bride of Christ, we have a wrong kind of relationship, Jesus. If he's marrying a man, there's something wrong with that, right? So you can be a son and I can be a bride. It's fair. Because it's not like that. When we really get it settled down in our hearts and our minds that we are one with Him in a new creation, and whatever He thinks about Himself is how He thinks about you. Whatever He says about Himself is what He says about you. Whatever He's allowed to have, you're allowed to have. Whatever He's allowed to do, you're allowed to do. Do you get that? We're one with Him. And so as Mark had to proof out in his life that the Word of God is absolutely true, I don't look at me whether or not it's true. I don't look at my life to decide whether or not it's true. I look at Jesus and what He said, whether it's true or not. And when I align myself with believing Him, and anything that's in my life that is different than what He says, it has to go. It has to go. And when we really settle that down, too many times we're thinking we've got to fix something. You don't. It's already fixed. We need to believe it and stop looking at our flesh and blood situation as to whether or not it is true. We look at the new creation of who we are, and we believe God by the Spirit. It says in Galatians, since you live in the Spirit, also what? Walk in the Spirit. That He's moved us, He's conveyed us from being on the earth to being in heavenly places. Right? From being in the flesh to being in the Spirit. So, let me just, this last thing, and I want to let you go. When an ungodly person enters your world, and you have to interact with this ungodly person, how much do they pay attention to who they are in the Spirit? Shout it out. I see these heads shaking. None. So when you reach this ungodly person, and you're having a conversation with them, can they relate to you when you're speaking about spiritual things? Not even a little bit. Can they think that you're a little strange? That you would believe that stuff? We can all relate to that, right? Okay. Well, God has moved you into the Spirit. So now you, when you're dealing with someone that's talking according to the flesh, you should be going, they are crazy. There's something wrong with them. They're really peculiar. They think that their body is actually in charge somehow. Like it's got priority somehow. There's something wrong with these people that walk according to the flesh. They are crazy. Don't they know the flesh is dead? Don't they know there's no good thing in the flesh? Don't they know the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't they know it's just a container for now? Don't they get that yet? And to us, when people are talking that way, we're kind of going, what are they thinking? I thought that we're new creations, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we're citizens of heaven, that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that we're sons of the living God, that as He is, so are we in this earth. That, what are they talking about? Do you see the difference? We have to do the crossover. And we're doing it. Listen, nobody does it in one decision. You might get one decision that has revelation and strengthens you to continue on your journey. But it's like Mark had to proof it out. God could have healed him instantly. But look how much stronger he is in his character now because he actually walked it out. I promise you, you're not going to be able to dissuade him. You're not. Because he's been hit and 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 never changed his tune. He has had his faith tested and been found out truth. Each one of us, don't think it's a strange thing
when you are tested in your faith, it's to proof out what do you really believe down inside of you. And too many people in the world just don't take the time to do that. Just want the miracle right up front. And they don't want to believe and have to walk it out to the very end. We are the ones that continue to believe to the very end. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. God loves you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. And really, speak your faith to the people around you. Let them be the strange ones. Amen? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everybody here today. Father, I just want to honor you for your glory report of how Mark, your son, has walked out your truth by the revelation that you've given to him. By hearing the word, taking the word, hiding it in his heart, speaking it out of his mouth, living his profession and confession. And Father, that his flesh has lined up with the truth of who you are. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for always being with us, for leading us, guiding us, teaching us, comforting us, showing and telling us things that we didn't know, and just raising us up as sons of the Most High God. Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge you that you are with us and you never leave us and you never forsake us, and that as we walk with you as joint heirs with Christ, that you more and more will have your way through us, that the kingdom would be increased, that Jesus would be glorified, and that we all would come to the knowledge of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray for everyone in this room and those that can hear my voice, Father, that they would walk in safety, in peace, in power, and in exuberant joy of the good things that have been given to each and every one of us. That you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.